cultish witch seance moments on platforms with thousands of people cheering and worshiping. It is radical what is taking place in our nation, and you still see the church silent.
We stopped preaching the gospel and we started trying to win souls, trying to win the mind, the will, and the emotions of man. Please come and follow Jesus. I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. If you're gonna follow me, it's gonna cost you everything. He didn't say, read my book on how to live your best life.
It is time for a holy disruption, a disruption with our comfortable Christianity, our comfortable preaching to get more butts in the seat, more money in the plates to build our own empire. God is not into following us. He is challenging us to see who are followers of Him. Welcome to Holy Disruption Podcast. I'm your host, Heather Schott, and this is the first official Holy Disruption Podcast. So exciting. I'm going to tell you the story. I was doing an Unscarred podcast prior to this. If you haven't listened, go listen to it. And then the Lord began to speak about this new podcast called Holy Disruption. I believe it's coming to America. We need it. Can't wait to tell you the story. Thank you for joining me. But first, today I have a special friend.
A special friend.
How do you feel about that intro?
My girls had this little doll that they used to squeeze, and she'd go, "I'm your guardian angel. I'm your special friend." And that's all I hear in my mind when you say
you're
that.
You're my special friend. Okay, friends for 18 years.
Yeah.
That's how long our friendship goes back.
Yeah.
We met in Columbus, Ohio. Both of us are newly married.
Yeah.
Total babies. The Lord speaks to you with Landon, I think, of we would have this friendship and ministry for years.
Yeah.
Here we are, 18 years later, building the house of the Lord, building our families,
so
having the absolute joy of our life. Everybody, this is Pastor Les Cody. You are the lead pastor of Waco Mercy Culture Church, where it is blowing up right now.
It's so fun.
Yeah, so fun. I know you have more to say than fun.
Yes.
But revival is taking place.
Revival's breaking out. It's been wild. Yeah. That's the word we use all the time.
Yeah.
Because it's just been this wildfire.
Yeah.
And I think we've broken a Guinness World Record. I'm serious. I'm looking into it. We've been in a tent. That's not the world record, but we've worshiped in 115 degrees and 15 degrees.
And I believe on Christmas Eve, it was like a monsoon.
Monsoon, rivers.
A monsoon, like a downpour with the river at the altar.
River
that
through
was
the
just
altar.
Going
it's just been insane to see people hungry for the presence of the Lord when all comfort has been stripped away. Just truly showing up just for the presence. The tent is packed. Every time I think there's no way anybody's coming to church this morning, the tent is packed. But more importantly, it's packed with the presence of God, and just people's lives are being transformed. Yeah. We're having the time of our lives. It's amazing.
So awesome. Yeah. And the building is not going to change anything.
No.
But we're excited to get into it. We're excited to get into it. So it'll be a little bit easier to get down on our knees and weep and cry
it
out
will be
and
a
jump
easier.
And praise and not on concrete. So Lord willing.
Do it, Lord.
I'm excited to have you, especially on this first podcast with me. I feel like we burn for so many of the same things.
Yeah.
We are the justice-driven individuals. Right is right, wrong is wrong, the black and white, you know?
Yes.
The truth and a lie.
It's gotten me into trouble a couple times.
Yeah. just a few times we've gotten in trouble for this. But like even my kids know, like I can handle anything, the hardest
just
truth.
Just don't lie to
me. But you better tell me the stinking truth. Don't lie to me. You're going to be in so much more trouble. And so we are truth tellers.
Yes.
And it does get us in trouble sometimes. And, you know, here we are doing this Holy Disruption podcast. And, you know, if I were to just pick and choose like a podcast of what to do that would be like easy and fun, it wouldn't be called Holy Disruption.
When have we done anything easy and fun? We could just do a whole podcast of telling stories of the last 18 years, and not one of them would be easy.
Yeah,
a lot of fun. But
yeah, no. I was like, Lord, this is it. It doesn't feel like the popular route. Right. There might be more unlisteners to this podcast than people signing up. But welcome. If you're listening, welcome. I hope you stay along and listen and grow with us. Yeah. Where we, you know, I'm in a growing and learning curve constantly. I want to be my entire life.
Yeah.
I want the zeal and the passion for the Lord to grow my entire life. And so there was a moment for me that took place. We were coming into what we were calling last year in 2023, the summer of prayer. And intercession just began to break out at every altar ministry moment. And I think Landon in that service had Nate Schatzline and I come up and to begin to pray for justice and righteousness in our capital and in our nation. And so I began to intercede for Austin, Texas, and for our capital in, I mean, presence of God, like what you're saying, is just wild, thick in the room. And, you know, God is moving. And I just begin to pray for our capital. And all of a sudden, as I'm praying, these words that I had never said or heard before come out of my mouth because I see this fire from heaven come down and hit the Capitol in Austin, Texas, like this Elijah moment, fire falling from heaven. And I said at the same time as I'm seeing this, Lord, bring a holy disruption. Mm. And the second I said holy disruption, it was like I had this leap in my spirit where I knew it wasn't me that was even interceding it because I never heard it. It was the Holy Spirit that's like interceding through me for this holy disruption. And then as I'm coming off the platform, Pastor Vanessa comes up and says, as you said the words holy disruption, my spirit leapt. I haven't even told her yet. Yeah. I'm just like, me too. My spirit leapt. So I begin to dive into, what does holy disruption really mean? And I had already been praying into just over mercy culture. We have a strong culture of biblical values. I've been praying into this value of holiness the last couple of years and saying, okay, when is the right time to introduce this new value of holiness? I believe it's strategic of the Lord, but right now we are seeing, I think, a massive, which we're going to get into in a second, void of holiness in the church, in the body of Christ, in Christians' lives. We are seeing this massive lack of holiness. We're going to get into all the reasons in just a second. But this moment, you know, when I'm seeing fire fall down from heaven over Austin, you know, you think of Elijah, and this moment, that word you said, wild. It's I can't imagine being alive in this moment. But Elijah has called King Ahab, all the prophets of Baal, the Israelites, they're all called to this moment. And Elijah says this in verse 21. Elijah approached all the people and said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him." And this is crazy. The Bible says this, but the people did not answer a word.
Silence.
I think that there's a shaking that's coming to the body of Christ. I think we're already feeling it. We are already seeing it with all the immorality, the leadership that is falling. I can only imagine the immorality taking place in the body of Christ
that we don't
everywhere
know
that we don't know about, but we see the leaders, we see the worship leaders, we see the spiritual fathers and mothers falling in immorality. We see the evidence of the shaking. We see the lack of the body of Christ speaking up on what are not political issues, are moral issues. We are clearly losing this battle as we are seeing some of the greatest platforms in America seeing unholiness and having straight up cultish witch seance moments on platforms with thousands of people cheering and worshiping in these moments. And so I truly believe we are in a war on holiness. I believe the demise of America will be when it fully turns to unholiness. Mm-hmm. We see this again, this word silence with Esther. And he said, look, Don't think, Esther, that your silence is going to save you and your household. In fact, if you are silent, you and your household, you will perish. And then I'm just going to raise up somebody else. So clearly we know the vengeance, the judgment, like a move of God. And I don't mean like angry God judgment, but like this sifting that we see clearly in the body of Christ, this threshing that we see that we know is coming again. Because he's going to return.
Yes.
And it seems like it's coming soon. Like the threshing and the sifting is coming. He's clear. Like this word silence is huge because it shows which side you're going to stand on or that you're not going to take a stance.
Right.
And that's what we see in scripture right here in 1 Kings with the people is that they are refusing to take a stance on who they serve. And notice the options that Elijah gives them. He's like, you're going to either serve Yahweh, you're going to serve God the way, or you'll serve the God of Baal. We see Molech, Baal, these false gods fully, you know, taking power and reigning in America right now with abortion and trafficking and all these things at an all-time high. Yet we have not seen less a movement arise. Now, I know there's some swirls, but it's shocking to me that we have not seen a movement arise yet with everything that we have seen. You're talking about 70 million babies that have been aborted. You're talking about more slaves in America right now than ever before. We have millions of slaves and they're being sold for sex. Our children are being sold for sex, our children being given hormones and mutilated to change their God-given identity. I mean, it is radical what is taking place in our nation, and you still see the church silent. This is why I believe God gave these words, that right now it is time for a holy disruption, a disruption in the body of Christ, a disruption in the church, a disruption with our comfortable Christianity, our comfortable preaching, to get more butts in the seat, to get more money in the plates, to build our own empire. God is not into following us. He is challenging us to see who are followers of him.
I think what's becoming clear is that there's a fundamental difference in our theology, where there is a theology right now that is all centered on your purpose, that teaches us that the only thing I'm going to teach about, the only thing I'm going to receive, what's relevant to my life?
Mm-hmm. How do I make me better?
How do I be the greatest me? How do I deal with the conflict I have at work? How do I deal with the conflict I have with my kid? How do I manage my money? There's nothing wrong with any of these topics. We talk about them in our church all the time, and this is important. But it's just a different manifestation of this me-centered humanistic idea that's been running rampant in the world since the time of Adam and Eve. It's the same spirit, and we've seen it manifested in the church in different ways.
Feeding the idol of self.
We saw it with the prosperity gospel.
Yep.
We saw it with the overemphasis on the word of faith movement. We saw this. We just see it now manifesting in a different way. What's my purpose? Just talk to me about what the things that, how is this relevant to my life? Nobody wants to hear die.
Yeah. So we saw this massive grace movement, which, thank you, Jesus, we are saved by grace and faith alone. Mm-hmm. So grace is the empowerment, though, to overcome sin.
Right.
Not to go and sin. The word of God is really clear that we're not to take advantage or pervert the word grace. So grace is not the power or freebie to go and sin and to test God. It's by his grace and his blood that we get to call on the name of Jesus, who died on the cross for us so that we would be set free from our sins. And so through his grace, we get to be made holy, like the word of God says, because he is holy. He says, I have called you to be holy because I am also holy. This happens through the true receiving of his grace and what he did on the cross. And I think what you're getting at right now is a lot of pastors think that this word of holiness is a legalistic term, that we are putting a bondage on the body of Christ. We are putting bondage on Christians to preach on holiness, which, by the way, it's definitely not Old Testament. It's New Testament. It's New Testament. We can give you all the scripture. Jesus also said, I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill it.
That's right.
So in his fulfillment of it, again, we receive his grace to be made like him. And to be made like him, he is holy.
Yeah.
So we are supposed to answer this call to holiness. And I think that this is why we need a disruption in the body of Christ, is because I don't see holiness.
No, we need to redefine what's a win for the body of Christ. We need to redefine, why do we exist? What is a win? Is it as many people in the seats as we can get? Is it, let's draw as many people unto ourselves, and then we treat Jesus like some desperate teenager who just wants to be liked and who just wants to be popular.
Yeah.
So please, 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 please follow me. Please follow me. Please follow me. Yes. Please, please, please. We'll drop eggs from a helicopter, and we'll have Fufu the clown, and we'll do it. We'll put up a roller coaster, and we'll auction off a car. And we'll just please, 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 please. And what I see is this, we've deconstructed the image of Jesus, and we've rebuilt him in our own image. And we've said, this is the Jesus that you can follow. The Jesus is my homeboy. Jesus is my boyfriend. Jesus just wants me to be happy.
Yeah.
Jesus is so driven by empathy.
Yeah.
Not the Jesus that when the rich man said, what do I need to do to follow you? He said, sell everything that you have. Give it to the poor and come and follow me.
Yeah.
And he walked away sad. Not the man who said, what can I do to follow you? But I'm going to follow you, but I need to bury my father first. And he said, let the dead bury the dead. Mm-hmm. Follow me. No, that's not the Jesus that we want to talk about. Mm-hmm. We want to construct a Jesus in our own image. And then what we've seen is, instead of deconstructing ourselves, dying to ourselves, and being built in the image
of
Christ,
we
deconstruct Jesus and build him in the image of us.
No, our sermons are on how to be your best self.
How to be your best self.
And I'm sorry, everybody listening right now, that is the wrong goal.
The wrong goal.
John the Baptist said, let me decrease so that he would increase. Everybody listening right now, this should be so much encouragement to you, because it is so much work to try to become and be your best self.
It's exhausting.
It's exhausting.
Yeah.
It's exhausting.
It's never
one
ending.
Of our favorite scriptures that God has both been ministering to us both on the last couple of years and stretching us in is what Paul said. In my weakness, I boast, because in that place of me boasting in my weakness is where his strength or his power comes and manifests through me. But this is where scripture's been twisted, because it's like, let me boast in my weakness. So let me go be the alcoholic Christian.
Right.
Let me go test. And this is a perversion of grace. This is not talking about, let me go and test God to be as weak or belligerent as I can. Let me go stick my toes to that line of compromise as close as I can. We're supposed to live above reproach.
Yeah.
Above reproach is where God has called us to. And I want to go to 1 Peter 1:13 through 16 to set up what we're talking about, to give everybody that is listening right now. You know, I was just encouraging you. It's exhausting to live as your best self. Don't try to live as your best self. We are supposed to look like Jesus.
Yeah.
So to everybody, you cannot become holy on your own. And so those that are attributing people to become holy in their own strength, fine, if you want to call that legalism. What we're trying to say, there is a bride that has not been intimate with her bridegroom. Therefore, the bride has not been made ready for his return. So the church is in an place.
Yep.
because we can feel the rumblings right now of his return. And we have a bride that doesn't know him, that doesn't know the Jesus you're talking about. They know a Jesus that a woke preacher to get a bunch of followers on social media will tell them what that Jesus is. They know the Jesus that is presented to them of parts of him, that he is merciful. Thank you, Lord. Need his mercy and his grace, but he is also truth. That is also what sets us free, is the entire word of God.
And the truth.
Living out the full word of God.
The truth of the word of God is divisive. Mm-hmm. It separates the wheat from the tares. Jesus said, I did not come to bring peace.
He
said, I came to bring a sword. He said, I came to separate mother from daughter and mother-in-law from daughter-in-law. He came to bring a dividing line, to bring clarity. And what happens is the confused don't like the clear. The bold, the passive hate the bold. The fearful hate the fearless. And so when you start speaking in boldness and clarity, it reveals passivity and fear and confusion. And so they hate it, and they'll come against you, and they'll start saying things like, you're religious, you're a bigot, you're hateful.
You're the Pharisees of our time.
Right. And Jesus, and then we rebuild, we've moved what success looks like for the house of God. So success is as many Instagram followers as I can get, YouTube views that I can get, how many people are packing out my pews, how influential am I? And so we say things like, I'll do anything short of sin to reach people for Jesus. Everything that I do is just about inviting people to church, gathering more people. And
which this is actually more pharisaical than what the truth tellers are, because Pharisees drew people to themselves. They hated Jesus. They hated the competition with him. They were jealous of his following. They wanted to build their following greater than the following of Jesus. Now you see this with Holy Spirit has no room in services.
And what did they do?
Because it's a show of a personality.
That's right. They sacrificed Jesus. They crucified, killed Jesus so that they didn't have to sacrifice their following and their own influence. Mm-hmm. They didn't have to give it up. It's in 2 Peter. I love this. Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10, 29. Just think about how much worse the punishment will be for those who have trampled on the Son of God and have treated the blood of the covenant which made us holy as if it were common and unholy, and have insulted and disdained the Holy Spirit who brings God's mercy to us.
Wow.
It is when we sacrifice the blood of Jesus, the holiness, the reason he died was to make us holy. And we sacrifice the truth of the word of God on the altar of our influence and building our crowd. We trample the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
And when Jesus got up and preached the gospel, he lost half of his followers.
Yep.
It's a divisive gospel. It just is.
Yep. It's
going to happen. It's going to happen, and we can't worship anything but Jesus. We can't worship success. Yeah. Yeah. We can't worship unity.
Yeah.
We've got we can't worship anything above Jesus. Influence.
Like what you're saying, I think so much of the body of Christ has actually lost true influence. I'm not talking about purchasing followers on social media, false influence. We have lost so much of our influence in the world, with the lost. You know, I think a lot of the lost looks at the body of Christ like a laughing stock when they see the disunity, when they see the corruption, when they see the unholiness, you know, and we have lost our influence because we have been serving an idol of influence, and we have traded authority.
Yes.
That's what his blood brings. That's what it paid for. His word says, Jesus said this, I have to go so that I can give you my spirit to fill you with his power and authority, because he said, you're going to do far greater things. You're going to heal the sick. You're going to call the dead back to life. You're going to preach the gospel. You're going to do these things even far greater because I'm going to fill you with my spirit. I'm going to fill you with my authority. Why don't we see it happening? I think because we have laid down authority to pick up influence so that our name is great, and that's not a trustworthy vessel.
No, and then we call it Christianity.
He's not giving authority to the man that is after his own influence.
We stopped preaching the gospel and we started trying to win souls. I've been chewing on this for a while. There's nothing wrong with saying winning souls, but there's something in the spirit behind it. Like my discernment has been going off. What is a soul? The soulish man is the mind, will, and emotions of man. And we've spent all of our time in the modern church today trying to win the mind, the will, and the emotions of man.
Wow.
Please come and follow Jesus. Jesus said, look, this is the way. I'm the way. I'm the truth. Choose. I'm the life. This is the way it's going to be. If you're going to follow me, it's going to cost you everything. What did Jesus say? He didn't say, read my book on how to live your best life.
Yeah.
He didn't say, if you follow me, you're going to get this new car. You're going to get this new job. You're going to have all of this great purpose. He said, you're going to be persecuted. You're going to be lied about. You're going to be murdered. This is the promise that I give to you. You're going to drink from the cup of suffering. Count it all joy. This is Jesus's message.
Count it all joy.
Where is that preached?
Yeah.
What happened to the, that's the gospel.
Yeah.
When do we stop fasting for, that new job and fast, Lord, would you give me a passion for persecution?
Come on.
Would you make me poor in spirit?
Come on.
Would you give me meekness and humility?
Yeah.
Would you
make me
allow
small,
me to drink from your cup of persecution?
Yeah.
Oh.
Less of me, more of you.
Where do we hear that?
We don't. We don't. And we have let culture, a culture of unholiness, lead us, influence us, and now you have congregations that are more influenced by worldly culture because we have cowardly leaders that I think refuse to be the Daniels, the Pauls, the Stephens, the Esthers. And I can't find men and women of God that God called that didn't have courage all over. In fact,
courage.
He says over and over, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous.
Well, Revelation
says, where's the courage?
Where's the courage? Revelation says, listed among the things that God hates is not cowardice, the cowardly. He hates the people who are cowardly. I don't want to be cowardly. We spend all of our time polishing our image.
If we spent more time in his presence, intimate and encountering the Lord, daily encounters, having a true daily relationship with the Lord, you can't come out of that cowardly because our God isn't cowardly. You can't come out with attributes after being intimate with one who is bold, who is fiery, who is full of justice and loves justice. You can't. And I think that like that's the place where the body of Christ has been misled, is to be intimate with popular preachers and popular podcasts instead of with Jesus. So are we called to holiness? Let's read 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 through 16. That's literally titled A Call to Holiness. We are called to holiness. It says this, therefore, prepare your minds for action. So he hasn't called you to sit around and be afraid, all cooped up in your house, COVID Christians.
Right.
Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be sober-minded. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, do not conform to the passions of your former ignorance. Another version says it like this. Do not conform to satisfy your own desires, but just as he who has called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. This word holy is the word hagios, which means sacred, holy, or set apart for God. And then this is interesting. The word conform, and I always love to show this just to people, because don't look up your biblical definitions in the dictionary. Look up the biblical definitions, because the dictionary says conform means this: to comply with rules or laws, to behave socially acceptable. Or conform, the definition in the Bible says this: to become or to be like, of the same form, indicating an interchange of nature working into the outward life, or fashioned according to. The Bible is saying, do not conform, because if you do, you take on the same form as the world. You take on the same form of that wickedness. You don't get to stay in the middle to be the hidden person that says, oh, I'm just not going to be vocal, and so I'm going to be silent on these political issues right. of abortion and trafficking right. and racism and the sexualization of our children and what's taking place in education, all this. You don't get to be silent. In fact, the Bible calls that really a place of lukewarm, where he says he's going to spit us out. And the teachers and the preachers are going to be judged all the greater for misleading our congregants, our following. A lot of people think as podcasters that they're not a preacher or a pastor. No. You have a platform.
And you have responsibility.
You have people following you in a direction, or you are misleading and misguiding people. If there is not a fear of the Lord for the platforms that we achieve. And so the Bible is really clear to all those that are listening right now. We are called to holiness. And when we are called to holiness, the Bible also talks about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that we have to stand firm. That's how we don't conform. We have to stand firm in the word of God. It says this in verse 13, God has chosen you from the beginning to be saved. You don't hear this one preached much. To be saved by the sanctification of the Spirit. It's the same word for holiness. To be saved by holiness and by faith in the truth. And then in verse 15, therefore, brothers, stand firm and cling to the traditions that we have taught you. It means this: stand firm in your faith in Jesus Christ and this life of crying out, God, make me holy like you are holy. Lord, let me decrease so that you may increase.
We have to look different than the world, Heather.
Yeah.
We have to look different than the world.
Yeah.
I just look on, you know, the window into modern culture is social media. We know this. And you look into the window of Christian culture today, and the most prominent Christian leaders that we see are Christian Kardashians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The clothes, it's all
about this image. They pray once before dinner, but
this image. What did Jesus, when Jesus talked about John the Baptist, what did he say? Did you expect to find this well-polished man? No, you found a wild man.
With
ratted clothes, who ate locusts and wild honey, who lived in the wilderness. What was he? He was different.
He was raised in consecration.
He was separate. He looked different than the world, because obedience, following Jesus, being a Christian, it goes back to what I said before. It's a fundamental difference in our theology. Being a Christian is not you raised your hand one day in a church service for the fake Jesus that they erected for you to follow, the one that's your homeboy. Being a Christian is that Jesus Christ becomes Lord of everything in your life. And then you have to have irrational obedience to his word.
Yeah.
And to what he speaks to you, obedience that makes no sense.
Yeah, I believe the Lord used this word disruption, because when you come and disrupt something, you can't put it back together again.
Yeah, it's good.
And so it's not disrupting something for the like, ooh, wow, you know,
say type something of, controversial.
Right. Yeah. To just be controversial, to just be bold for the sake of a good reel.
Right.
And that's where this set apart the holy disruption. But I feel like the Lord, even right now, is highlighting this word disruption, because when you're talking about making Jesus Lord, it's unfortunately just one of the steps, because so many people have built so many idols in their life.
So many.
And there has to be a disruption, a dismantling of the idols, of this image, of self.
Yes.
Because you will choose Jesus in one moment, and you will turn your cheek. You will turn away from him tomorrow, because you have not removed the idols and the things that you are currently worshiping. There has to be a disruption. Hear me, people that are listening. Hear me, any leaders that are listening. If you're offended, I'm sorry, but I hope that it disrupts some stuff personally in your life. Christians, that it disrupts some stuff personally in your life, and that you go and disrupt stuff that's not supposed to be there, the unholy things that we have set our eyes to, that we've set our attention to, that we are eating up, like you're saying, all of these reality shows. Like, that's what we fill ourselves up with. How many Christians are picking up the holy word of God, the living word of God, and letting it fill them? You know, it's funny, because when we are launching Mercy Culture Church, we were warned by a couple pastors that we are going to be over spiritual. It's the least of my worries in this day and age.
Yeah. Being over spiritual.
With the wickedness, with the spirituality of witchcraft, of Baal worship, of Molech worship, of all of it in our nation right now, to be over spiritual with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. I won't apologize for being the quote unquote over spiritual. I want to look more like him, which means a life of consecration.
Yeah. And
of living
Jesus
a life
always
to
recognized
look like
the spirit. Jesus was over spiritual. And everything that Jesus, a blind and deaf girl comes to him for healing, he didn't lean down and go, I'm so sorry you're blind and deaf. He said, come out, you blind and deaf spirit, or you mute and deaf spirit. When the storm came and the disciples were freaking out, Jesus was asleep. He didn't look at the natural. He cut through the natural and looked at the spirit and said, peace be still. He was speaking to spiritual issues.
Yeah.
He's our example that things that we're facing around us are spiritual issues.
Yes.
The last thing we need are less spiritual leaders.
Yeah.
Leaders who don't want to be, who are afraid to be too spiritual. That's the last thing in the world that we need.
So this answer, so for people listening that want to answer this call to holiness, because truly I believe holiness is void in the church. I mean, we see it void in the worship community.
Ugh.
We've already talked about, you know, pastors and spiritual leaders. We see it void in the worship community. We see the drinking and getting drunk and before going and writing songs, and we're taking shots and partying.
Yeah.
Like, didn't Lady Gaga do the same thing? Didn't she go to a place to say, I got to go to a dark place. I got to fill myself with some stuff to have an encounter with darkness to get these songs out. Why are we going and filling ourselves with things that aren't holy? And I know the whole conversation, don't worry, this could be another podcast. We're going to talk about alcohol. We're going to talk about all of it. Because we're going to have all of the taboo conversations. I know that people are going to say, but Jesus drank. You know what? If the only time you're comparing yourself to Jesus is when he drank, you got an issue.
It's a problem.
Compare yourself to the rest of the moments in the 40 days in the wilderness of fasting and not eating food or water. Have you done that?
Right.
Okay, well, maybe you could be trusted with that glass of wine then, you know? But we see it void, this word holiness in the body of Christ. And I believe it's why it's void in America. And the Lord gave me this line as we are praying into this year of reformation. But I heard the Holy Spirit say, holiness is the fuel for reformation. Holiness is the fuel for reformation. And you look back on previous revivals that were snuffed out. You look back and see, why did revival never break out and bring reformation in the political realm like it did in biblical times, to government, to their nation? You see, when reformation broke out, nations were shifted. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego stepped into the fire. Jesus met them there. When they step out, it said the nations, the king said, everybody will now serve their God. And the nations shifted in a moment because of some courageous and bold leaders sold out to please their king. So how do we answer this call to holiness? And I believe that there's really three things in answering this call to holiness. We've already talked about one of them, but the number one thing is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, daily encounters, because the more, everybody that's listening right now, the more that you're in his presence, the more we look, smell, act, speak like him. We have to be people in our word that know our word. It's interesting when you're talking about Jesus and his responses. Every time he was attacked spiritually, he responded with the word of God.
Responded with the word.
The church doesn't know the word.
And when you spend time with the Lord, you're going to be convicted.
Yeah.
One of the first questions I ask people that I'm leading is, what are you convicted by right now? Mm. And I ask myself that question, and it's very revealing about whether or not we're actually with the Lord. Because if you're spending time with perfection, you're going to see your imperfections. Mm. If you're spending time in the Word, he's going to reflect the flesh and show you, hey, deal with this, son, and deal with this.
Yeah.
And when you do it, when it comes from relationship, you see, we hear all this talk, well, I'm in relationship over religion.
Yeah.
And what that means about 95% of the time is I want to do whatever I want to do and still pretend like I love Jesus.
Yeah.
But when we're truly in relationship with the Lord, he's revealing those things to us all the time.
And that's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
It's beautiful. I think we've been taught, you know, by a religious spirit to reject that, to cover up those things, to cover up your temptations. Look, you're not your temptation. We all have temptations. Jesus was a perfect man. He was tempted.
Yeah.
But he responded with the word of God. We have authority and power in the name of Jesus, and those things have to flee. You know, a second ago when I was just saying the church doesn't know the word of God, I don't want to sound like I am beating up the body of Christ.
Yeah.
But this is what I do want the body of Christ, Christians, to realize is the agenda and the powers, the strongholds of this world on purpose want to distract us with everything. You said it is a social media world. We are taught the second that we wake up, scroll.
Yeah.
The second we sit on the toilet, oh, you can't go without your phone.
That's right.
Scroll. It is all the time. Yeah. And even if we open our Bible, it's on our phone.
It's right there.
So then when an email comes and a text message comes or a notification comes, all of a sudden, oh, I need to check that. It is so on purpose. Listen, I am not trying to beat anybody up. I am trying to expose the evils of our time to distract the body of Christ of a dormant authority and power that can wipe out all darkness and all wickedness in the earth. We carry it because the living God lives within us.
We carry it in our weakness. When we can acknowledge our weakness is when we carry great power.
Yeah.
It is in our weakness that he's made strong. Isn't it ironic that we, from this, the crowd whose entire life is built around maintaining an image, that's where the accusations of legalism come from, right? Mm-hmm. You're so legalistic, and this is not freedom, this is not grace. That's the ability to recognize, I can't do this without Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
The ability to recognize and to say, my image doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
And I may not have the coolest shoes and the best car. And I wanted to get a haircut before this podcast and they couldn't squeeze me in. And all of those things that you think through.
Yeah.
And I've so just crafted and cultivated this image and convinced myself that it's to win people for Jesus.
Mm, wow.
When, and that breeds a dependence on our own strength, which in turn breeds a lack of holiness.
Mm-hmm.
when we're cultivating this image of our best selves, when we're cultivating this image of constant strength, of being the fashion forward person, and whatever it, your issue is, we all have them. It removes that, the power of weakness. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It removes it. And you said it earlier, yeah. You're just able to say, I've messed up. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm tempted by these things.
Yeah.
Like I need the Lord.
Yes.
Don't look at me.
Yeah.
Don't look at me. Look at Jesus.
Yeah. Look at Jesus. Practical ways in your relationship, you know, with the Lord, for those that are listening, is your prayer life. You know, you can in these moments with the Lord daily repent for those things. Yeah. If you fall short, pick yourself back up. You and the Lord, you know, he will give you strength for tomorrow. There's new mercies every single morning. But your prayer life, what prayer really, really means. And I remember when I was first saved, I was like, how do you pray? And I remember my husband just being like, there's no way to pray. You just talk to God.
Yeah.
And just want to encourage all those that are listening, you know, right now in your daily relationship with the Lord, that the enemy has made it seem hard or challenging because it's actually so easy. You can talk to God anywhere and everywhere. You can have the Bible playing on in your house all of the time. You can have worship playing in your car all of the time. You can be worshiping all of the time because of technology.
Yes.
I want to encourage you in your prayer life, pray and ask God to decrease you and to increase himself through you. Begin to pray bold prayers. Here's the second thing, is to live to please God. Don't live to please others. We were just talking about this. Don't live to please yourself. But 1 Thessalonians 4:1-8 talks about living to please God and that it is God's will. New Testament, again in verse 3, for it is God's will that you should be holy. And so we know after today and after this podcast, it's God's will for us to be holy. Yeah. It's his grace. It's what he did on the cross. It's intimacy with him. It's living to please God that allows us to live this life of holiness. And then the third is this, to go even deeper. We've been in a season of this at Mercy Culture. The Lord began to speak this last fall into our house. And as leaders, we've been leaning into it. I believe the entire church has been awesome. I've been hearing different ways that people are living a life of consecration.
Yeah.
As you brought up earlier, John the Baptist was raised in the wilderness. The wilderness is another word or form of consecration. John the Baptist was raised in the wilderness. He was raised set apart. And the Bible says that he was not released from the wilderness or from consecration until God was calling him into his ministry to bring reformation. Yeah. And so consecration is not just an Old Testament term that's like, oh, this is the Nazarite call. That's Old Testament. No, there's ways we can consecrate ourselves today that sets ourselves apart for the Lord's purposes.
Yeah.
We turn off the noise.
Yeah.
We turn off the distractions. Currently, we're doing 6 months of no TV in our house. If we do a Friday night family movie, it's a Christian movie, which has been fun and interesting and hilarious. We need more Christian movies. But, you know, it's on purpose to set our eyes on him and to turn down the distractions.
And consecration isn't a moment. It's a journey with the Lord.
Yeah.
I don't think it ever ends.
Yeah.
We just continue to do it. There's a spot on our stage in Waco where there'll be these moments where the temptation to please people comes upon me. And I'm 41 years old. I've been in ministry for 20 years. I made a lot of mistakes, but I faced the fear of man. And it's been one of my, I'll cry. I'm a crier.
Do it.
It's been one of my greatest giants that I've faced. And this desire to please people.
Yeah.
And so these things will come. There's influential people that are here this morning. We have a lot of visitors.
Come on.
You got to grow your church and you got to say things that are going to please them. And you can't use that point in your message. It's going to offend people. And it's getting a little awkward in worship right now. And you really should move on. And what about the offering time?
So
but I feel the Lord keeping me into all of these things. And I go to this spot that's behind a speaker. Nobody can see. And I look at the wall and I go, I don't care what they think. I don't care what they think. I don't care what they think. Do you know why I say that? Because I care what they think.
Yeah. That's so good.
And I just repeat it until I don't. I don't care what they think. I could break it off of you. So guys that are watching this, you guys, just break it off of you. Take a moment right now in your car, on social media, looking at your phone, sitting on the toilet, like Pastor Heather said, whatever you're doing, and just break it off. Ask the Lord. And you can't just do it today and then never do it again. But ask the Lord, would you deliver me from caring what they think? Mm-hmm. Can I just care about what you think? And let me warn you of something. When you start praying that prayer, you're going to do stupid stuff. You're going to do, I call it irrational obedience. I know we got to go. I got to tell you one thing.
Okay.
So like there's this one thing the Lord spoke to me months ago, weeks ago, and said, when you move into the new building, we've been in this building project for 2 years. We're about to take this new building. There's a buzz about it. People are excited. The Lord said, the first Sunday's for me. Don't tell anybody. And I knew I can't post about it on social media. Church's social media is not going to post about it. We're not sending out a text message. He said, don't tell him the first Sunday's for me.
Let's go.
Like the first Sunday's. But Lord, like it's totally different from every church marketing.
Yeah. Oh, no plant shirting.
You can never regain momentum. You can never recapture a first moment. What about winning? This is those thoughts come in. It's come in many times.
Obedience has been the opposite of what any church strategist.
Exactly. And whatever it is in your life, if you're a church leader, if you're running a business with your children in your personal life. Yeah. I don't care what they think. I think it's like one of the first steps to being able to walk in boldness and clarity and walk in holiness.
Yeah. I'm going to leave everybody with this. That's so good. And it flows exactly with what he is saying, is to pray the prayer that David prayed from Psalms 139, verse 23 through 24. And he said this, search me, O God.
Yes, Lord.
And know my heart. Test me and know my concerns or my fear. See if there is any offensive way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. And this is so powerful because David was a king. He was at the top.
Yeah.
Yet David was humble enough to say, no, I know who the true king is. And I give you full access to search every part of me to see if there's anything within me that offends you, God. And I think if we begin to pray this with our whole heart and really mean it, and not like a 5-minute prayer of like, oh, nope, can't think of anything. I'm good. I did a really good job with all my relationships with everybody today. So nope, it's not for us to answer. It's not for us to answer. It's for us to open up vulnerably.
Yeah. And he will show you.
Search it all, God. And if you wait, if you pause and you really vulnerably allow yourself to be open to the Holy Spirit, to our helper, he will help us in the areas that are unholy in our lives. He comes in as this master surgeon and he will begin to work in our heart. He will begin to work in our minds. He will begin to do the work that we cannot do on our own. He will begin to do what we can't do in our own strength, but only Jesus can do.
Yeah.
And I believe that as we receive this grace, as we decrease and pray prayers like this, we begin to see holiness, not a haughtiness, a holiness, a purity, a true love for Jesus, a fear of the Lord that continually sets our fear on him and off of other things. I believe holiness coming back to the body of Christ will attract the authority from our king.
Without a doubt.
Like when Esther was granted that authority the king, that shifted and changed her nation and generation.
That's right.
And that's what I'm after.
Not my will, Lord.
That's what we have to be after. Like we know if his return is soon, he's after a great harvest.
Yes.
And as passionate as I am about the one, and I'll go after the one like Jesus will go after, he's passionate about the one everywhere.
Yes.
Everywhere in this nation that is broken.
That's right.
And so just want to encourage everybody with this last word as we're closing out right now. Thank you for joining us today. Pray Psalms 139 every single day. Vulnerably pray this prayer. Watch how the Lord will not just speak to you and uncover stuff, but He will be there to walk you through the freedom walk. He will be there to encourage you. He will be there as your helper. And so I pray those that are listening, if idols were exposed, that you're going to disrupt them. I encourage you to come back, be encouraged as we begin to disrupt all different types of topics, all the hot topics. But it's really, you know, we call it the hot topics or the elephant in the room that we want to talk about, but it's all the stuff we're dealing with. It's all the stuff we're facing in our nation. And so I pray that as it's a disruption, that it's an encouraging disruption for freedom for you, freedom in your church, freedom in your business, freedom in your family, and hope it blesses your life. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for being with me today.
Honor. Thank you.
And we'll see you next time. Thank you for joining me on this episode of Holy Disruption, where we are awakening the bride of Christ and calling the church back to holiness. If you'd like to continue with me on this journey, follow me on social at Heather Schott and make sure to subscribe at Mercy Culture on YouTube and all podcast platforms.